go to Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to review some things we've already studied. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what's the next word?
And.
But remember, we studied last week. It's the Hebrew word wa, and it means also but. It should have been, in my opinion, it should have been translated as but. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, but now, at the time he's speaking of, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now, what's the difference there? Why is but so important and not just and?
Because the Holy Spirit is contemporaneously doing the same thing?
No.
Didn't you say there's time in there between?
There's uncountless eons and millions of years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. And that's why the word but is so important there. But the 6 days of creation happened about 6,000 years ago. That's when Adam was created. There's absolutely no evidence of any evolution in the last 6,000 years. And the evidence that scientists has for evolution is based on fossil evidence. Well, that's not a credible evidence if there was a pre-Adamic age. And that's when the age of all of the monsters and the what we see as the gargoyles in the churches and from all of the dinosaurs and that whole world was in the pre-Adamic age. Everybody at least accept that as a possibility?
It makes more sense than anything you've ever heard. You see these dinosaurs in museums and you think,
For somebody that drills holes in the ground and comes up with rocks that are 50 million years old, you go, the earth can't be 6,000 years old. What's the explanation for that?
I had a... I think I mentioned this to you. I was friends with a lot of the astronauts because I had most of them on the radio show that I had. And I had what they called the Genesis Rock. It's the oldest rock in our solar system. And it was over 5 billion years old. Carbon dated.
Where did it come from?
The moon.
From the moon?
One of the only 12 men in all of history have ever walked on the moon. And I interviewed most of them. And one of them I became best friends with, Jim Irwin.
What happened to the rock?
I wanted to keep it, but he wouldn't let me. It was in a... briefcase that was handcuffed to his arm. And I told him I wanted to cut his arm off so I could keep the rock.
He'll have a big chainsaw mark one of these days.
But he opened the case and the rock was encased in there. And
that particular rock or any moon rock?
All moon rocks are valuable for obvious reasons. Right. But this one was unique because it was of a particular, I can't remember all the details of why they called it the Genesis Rock, but it was something that made scientists call it the Genesis Rock, and they knew how old it was. So. Anyhow.
You asked, so I'll answer. It seems to me that I have no problem with the concept that there was years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, but God didn't even get around to putting two lights in the sky until chapter 18.
That's not right.
18.
That's not right.
No?
Okay. I'll show you in a minute.
Okay.
All right. So everything was destroyed. All vegetation, all animal life, everything was destroyed. And it was destroyed, who knows how, more than likely by an ice age that lasted several billion years, who knows how long that. But you know, all the land mass was one mass. All the Earth's land was one land mass. And anyway, I could spend, we could spend all jillion years on that one. Now this darkness was a word, a Hebrew word, Koshek, and it's Choshek, and it's not, the word doesn't mean just dark, it means unnatural darkness, and it's a darkness could be felt. It's the darkness that was the ninth plague. Let's go to Exodus, the plague of darkness in Exodus 14, I think.
Is that right? Darkness you can touch. I mean, that's pretty dark if you can touch it.
In Exodus 10:21. And the Lord said, this is the ninth plague. The tenth one follows, which is the death of the firstborn. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any man from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Anyway, it goes on. So this is a darkness that is that from God's perspective is a result of unbelievable sin. The sin in Exodus was obvious. I mean, you know that plagues didn't come on Egypt because the Egyptians had been mean to Israel, which is taught all over the place. The plagues came on Egypt because God's people had accepted the idols of Egypt. And so that's why the plague of darkness here was just 3 days. It was also symbolizing the 3 days and nights that Jesus spent in the grave. But the plague of darkness here only lasted 3 days. Can you imagine that kind of darkness? So it's not just the absence of light, it's the darkness that can be felt, which totally covered the earth. Darkness covered the face of the deep.
That'd freak everybody out.
Well, there isn't anybody to freak out.
No, back then, but I'm saying now that would freak everybody out. Those stars, not just darkness.
And God said, let there be light. And the darkness let. The darkness was swept away. Anybody buy that? Now, in answer to Tom's question, let's go to verse 18.
What that first light must have been like.
Now, let's start in verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now, it doesn't say he created them then. It said they became visible. Now,
Okay, that's cool.
I can
buy that. That's not a problem.
The same reason it doesn't say he created Satan then.
Yeah, he could have poked a hole in the dark just like I'd poke a hole in a, you know, in a curtain or something.
Can we move forward now, Tom?
All right.
I'm cool.
Satan doesn't, he didn't, it doesn't, he, I mean, does, if anybody believes in the oneness of God, you must believe he had to create Satan. Mm-hmm. Satan was created before this time, and Satan originally was a good guy. Anybody remember we read that? Ezekiel 28? Ezekiel was, well, let's read it, since we're, it won't hurt us to read about this again. Ezekiel 28. Now here, Cyrus, the king of Cyrus, is a type of Satan, so it's, you got to read, see what that means. But anyway, in verse 12, Exodus 28. Ezekiel 28, I'm sorry. One of the books. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in, now to seal up the sum meant that he was created in perfection. That's what it means. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardi, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, obviously, this isn't talking about Satan being in Eden as the snake. It's talking about Satan being in Eden at the creation of the Adamic, pre-Adamic age. He was the leader. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee in, as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings that they may behold thee. Thou hast defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. Now.
And iniquities and all this here means self-seeking.
Right. Self-awareness.
Self-awareness.
Who was the they that filled him with violence?
That was his minions.
His minions that did it so.
They, yeah, we're going to, let's look at that a minute. In verse 18, did we study about this? I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, it shall devour thee. Did we talk about that?
No. Not yet.
I seem to remember we did, because I remember the word traffic. Okay.
Yeah, well, we read that, but I don't know if we talked about the midst of thee. Midst me is the word trabek in Hebrew. And it means to divide in two. Let's just talk about humans for a minute. When they ate of the tree of the knowledge, of the tree that of the knowledge of good and evil, that altered their brain, the human's brain, that altered your brain and my brain. And you can say, well, what does what happened back to Adam and Eve have to do with me? Well, if your grandfather died at birth, where would you be? So obviously that has everything to do with you. I believe, and I think I can prove teleologically, not by scripture, that before the fall, there was just one mind. You didn't have a conscious and a subconscious mind. And you did not have the capacity to be aware of yourself. So you were only aware of others and God.
That's cool.
What?
That would be cool.
And that's what the mystery of innocence is. That's what it means to be innocent. That's why Jesus said, except you be converted and become as that darling infant, that little child, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God. And so somehow we have to get rid of the two minds. So there's only one mind. So we're only aware of God and others. We lose the capacity to have awareness of self. Now the form that takes is that you first lose the capacity to think that any time and anything and any place you are and anything you're going through, you lose the capacity to see that it's possible for you to be different than that. That's a biggie. And it's as big as it gets because everything about your brain is hardwired not to do that.
But a little child is like it, they have no self-awareness.
Right, until they're 18 months, about.
Yeah.
And then they have self-awareness, and then I promise you, the first thing they learn is how to manipulate their parents.
You're not a parent.
Huh?
You're not a parent, how do you know that?
Well, I've been a parent to 60 jillion kids
around
here. What are you talking about?
A thousand come through here.
Yeah, I'm just such a...
They get a birth certificate at the end of time.
But think about it. Jesus wasn't kidding. He said, except you be converted and become as that little child, you can no wise enter the kingdom of God.
That's the place we need to get and get back to.
The mind of Christ is yeah. That.
Yeah. You lose the capacity to think that the situation, any situation you're in, should or even could be different than it is. And I tell you, that takes a whole lot of repenting. I used to repent, I bet if I counted them, it would be 10,000 times a day. Because every time I became aware of myself, I would say, Father, forgive me in any way. Well, what happens when you lose the capacity to be aware of yourself? Now, I'm not saying I've reached it, but I'm a lot better than I was before. Well, what happens is you slowly but surely lose the capacity to think that the situation you're in should be different than it is. Now, this is why I had to ask God. I was writhing on the floor in pain that most people can't even imagine. I was incontinent. I crapped my pants, pissed all over myself, threw up all over myself, lying on the floor in a heap, right back there in that bathroom, just not very long ago. And that wasn't me that said this, because I didn't have the capacity to think that. I said, Father, forgive me for wanting to be delivered from pain. Now that changed something so deep inside me I can't even describe it. And that was a huge deal for me because I'd spent so many years in pain. That it was like, all I'm saying to you is if you're aware of yourself, Father, forgive me. If there's any awareness for any reason, Father, forgive me. You think you can do that? Because repentance is the only answer to anything. The wisest man, Jesus said, the greatest man that was ever born of woman was John the Baptist. His message can be summed up in those few words, bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. Now, no one would ever conceive to do this. In fact, if you go to most churches, all they do is put your eyes on yourself more because they're telling you how to do this and how to do that. And nobody can ever do it, so you just fundamentally learn to be a hypocrite. Now, talk to me about it. So if you don't understand this, you're shaking your head.
I'm just thinking about all these churches we have, schools for hypocrites. You
know? Yeah, the only Bible school in the scriptures was a school for Pharisees. Mm-hmm. That's why Harry wanted me to do another radio program, and the tagline was, consider the possibility that everything you've ever learned, everything you've ever heard, and everything you've ever believed is wrong.
Well, that's a compulsion it creates in you. It's to want to go get you want people to understand that. And
yeah, but you can't live it. You can't talk about it until you live it.
Can't just go get on TV and say, hey. Cost you your life.
Now, what does a pre-Adamic man have to do with all this? Let's go to Genesis.
Wait a minute, I only had a question before we hop. In Ezekiel 28, verse 17 is a really interesting, but I need some clarification on this, if we may. 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness.
Radiance. He was admired by everybody.
Okay. That beauty and brightness.
Okay. Radiance.
Okay, jumping.
Now you made me lose my what I was going to do next.
Genesis.
What does all that have to do with
the pre-Adamic man?
The pre-Adamic man.
Yeah, let's go back to Genesis.
That's where we
Genesis
are.
Genesis 3, huh?
That's where we are.
Shut up. I knew I didn't like you up there, and I just remembered why. I love you, but I don't like you. Nick says I don't like anybody.
The prophet has spoken.
We're all
no, I like Sandra. I like Mary. I don't know about the rest of you, though.
Obviously, he digs chicks.
Yeah. Right, no.
The good news is we don't really give a shit. What? The good news is we don't really give a shit.
Genesis 3. This is when they were expelled from the garden. 22. And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil.
Now, where are we at?
20. Genesis
3:22. 3:22. I missed it by that much. Thank you, sir.
May we continue now?
Continue now, sir.
And the Lord God said,
Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. And it's a colon. It's a colon there because the thought of that is too terrible to even discuss again. And the reason it's so terrible is because the pre-Adamic, the age of Lucifer, they ate both of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And they were instantly spiritualized. And the earth was destroyed beyond our conception of destruction. And they are locked in space without regard to time. And that evil is an evil we can't even imagine. We can only invent movies about it. But it's the evil that Christ had to overcome with not his using his power. That would have been child's play. And it wouldn't have done you any good. It had to be overcome by nothing but obedience to the Father. If he overcame it with his power, then it wouldn't have done us any good. But he overcame it with obedience so that he was the way in time and space. He's the way in space only, and he's the way in eternity. But there had to be that testing ground. So that's why the pre-Adamic age had to exist. And that's what led me to find it, because I knew it had to exist in the economy of God. Does that make sense to you? But I want you to imagine, like, huh?
Is it just like the angels that we had talked about before that mated with the humans?
No.
And then that, now angels don't do that?
Or well, can't do that? No. Yeah, angels do that. They did that. The Rephaim, they created the Anakin and the Rephaim, and we'll talk about that later. But Okay. Right now we're talking about the pre-Adamic world. And these guys aren't angels anymore. They're beings that are too awful to contemplate.
There. But when they were, weren't the angels that are now also there too? Because only...
No, God creates angels at his will. Oh. They're as easy to create to him as snapping his finger.
Cost you $5,000 for one in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. That's one you should have kept to yourself.
Yeah, probably so. I apologize.
So these evil beings are locked in space. What's going to happen to them?
Well, when time is no more, then space is no more. That's why hell can't. It says forever, but the word forever in the New Testament means as long as time lasts. They'll be forever in a lake of fire. Well, the lake of fire, just the dump that they poured lye on to keep from smelling up Jerusalem.
When the Lord speaks, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us." Who's he speaking to, and who is us?
The Holy Spirit and Jesus.
Good. And then to know good and evil, and now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat it and live forever.
Forever meaning, again, to recreate what happened, as long as time lasts.
Then...
they had already had that.
Right, but we look at the colon here and realize that, as you say, so... I'm just trying to think where this...
You're trying to complete the sentence.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, don't do that.
No, I know. But we have to look at it to know that, as you said, it is something so...
If you put every possible scary movie you've ever seen and it's ever been made, and every legend and scary legend that has ever been made and never existed, and put it all in one place, that would be 100th of 1% of what it would be like.
I'm thinking Well, because just as Satan did, trying to be God, trying to be equal with God, trying to be God's peer, trying to be God, is a horror and an abomination to the Lord. Whereas if we were to do that, it would be the end of us as well. Yes?
You'd be, not if you were to do it. You do it every day.
Only daily?
Well, no, I mean, you do it many, many times every day.
Okay.
Because his main sin was he rose above the cloud. How many times the cloud is doubt? How many times do you rise above the cloud? How many times do you think you're making a decision? There's no such thing as a decision. Every time you rise above the cloud, you've entered into Satan's domain. It's not you any longer. A believer never makes a decision. If there is a choice, you do nothing until it's clear.
So we have eaten of the tree of good and evil.
Yes.
But not of life.
Right.
And
you can't eat of the tree of life until you see yourself as dead. I know you're dead.
So, Satan is kind of like, was like Adam?
Well, he was a whole lot like better than Adam.
And then fell, and then he...
We just read what he was. It was beauty, there's nothing like it.
Ollie will love this, but I mean, the whole thing comes down to the first Harry Potter movie, where the only person who could find the stone was the one who didn't want it.
I've never seen any of the Harry
Potter
stuff. I haven't either.
I can't believe it. Okay, all right, Tom. So next week, bring the AV material.
Yeah, I have to bring the movie.
That's okay.
That's okay.
What I have pictured in my head is that God is got this creation, and he does this like, oh, they screwed up. Start over again.
No, God never screwed up.
No, I didn't say they screwed up.
No.
No, God didn't. They screwed up.
No, but if that means God screwed up. Mm-hmm. There's no such thing as the permissive will of God. There's only the determined will.
Why does God say he repented of his ways?
Because some man of the Spirit laid down his life and said, kill me and not them. And that was essentially the Spirit of Christ in them. And that's what Moses did many times. That's what Job said. Throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Paul said, I would die that my people could be saved. I would be put in Gehenna. But that can't be just some blithe little comment. It has to be real, and God knows when it's real or not. Because that's Christ in them speaking. And that's the only voice he listens to. It's always about mercy and grace, mercy and grace, mercy and grace. The two always go together. But it's grace first and then mercy. Well, let's look at why Satan fell. Go to, where is it? Isaiah 14. Now this stuff is hard. I mean, I'm kind of just mouthing it off, but man, this is something I studied for years and years and years. And so don't expect to understand it in a minute.
It's helpful to get a glimpse of it. I mean, that's how you start to learn.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Isaiah 14. Here, the king of Babylon is the type of Satan. So start in chapter 14, verse 3. And this is talking about us. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased? The golden city is ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked one and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hail from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. And they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, etc., etc. So the five I wills of Satan. That's what in 13 and 14.
And what did you say the north is?
The sides of the north. He's saying he will sit upon the mountain of the congregation in the sides of the north. Remember when we studied Psalm 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and the city of our God in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful for every situation, the joy of the whole earth, is this Mount Zion, the new Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great king. Sides of the north means shrouded in a mystery, or flanked by in a mystery. That's what sides of the north. How they translated it, sides of the north, I know not. So he's saying the same thing. He's saying the same thing as it says in Psalm 48. He's saying he's going to be there. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, this place shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great king, the new Jerusalem. All right? Now, this is why, well, it's time to do that. Go to Numbers 9. This is why this, what we're about to read, is so important. You saw that one of his I wills is I will rise above the cloud, right? In verse 15. Now, the book of Numbers, the book of Genesis is about the world before the law and all the different types that happened there and the beginning of the people of Israel. The book of Exodus is about the Exodus of coming out of Egypt and about receiving the law at Mount Sinai and about some of the early travels. But the book of Numbers is about the book of Leviticus is the law, given at Mount Sinai. Then the book of Numbers is the trek of Israel through the wilderness. And what that means to us and to his people is that the book of Numbers shows us how to walk through the wilderness and not make the same mistakes they did. Now remember, it took them 39 years. They spent, well, it took them 40 years, but it took them 39 years in one place. They stayed at Kadesh Barnea because they got afraid of the giants. It should have only taken them from the period from Passover until Tabernacles, which is essentially from May until October, to reach the Promised Land.
6 months.
But they went through that circuitous route because God required them to shed all of their grave clothes of their mind and of religion before they could enter the promise. Now, it's estimated that 6 million people, including, it was 300,000 men between the ages of 20 and 50, and all the women and children, and all the ones that were younger and older, and all of the mixed multitude that followed them out of Egypt. There were all, a lot of their slaves and a lot of their friends left. Anyway, it could, nobody knows, but it's many, many more than the few hundred thousand. It's in the millions. Only two of those that left entered the promise. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb wasn't even a Jew. He was a Canaanite. And the Kenites, they were the ones that helped Moses and all that. But the Kenite in the New Testament is called the friend of the bridegroom. So only Christ and the friend of the bridegroom entered the promise. Millions upon millions upon millions died in their own sin in the wilderness. Now, where did the church come up with this idea of once saved, always saved? Where did that come from? There's no fear of God.
The crusade of Christ.
Huh?
The canvas crusade of Christ.
There's no fear of God with that. Then I'm just going to live my life. Therefore, there's no zeal. Therefore, there's no integrity. That's the problem with America's church. Not just America anymore. It's the church that America has spread all over the world.
Yeah.
It's the religion of fairy tales. Anyway, Numbers 9, starting verse 15. And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, now the tabernacle is reared up in you, the minute you say, Father, I'm yours, without condition. Now, I pray that each of you have said that, but you may not say that after you've heard me preach for a while. But I'm yours without condition. That's when the tabernacle is reared up in you. All right, now watch. On the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. At evening there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire until morning. And so it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. And when the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, and after that the children of Israel journeyed. In the place where the cloud abode, there the children of Israel pitched their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode on the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. Now, the charge of the Lord, and down a little further, it's called the commandment of the Lord, is the cloud. Now, the cloud is doubt. Doubt is the most critical, important part of a believer's walk that there is. Doubt meaning that you are confronted with a situation in which there's more than one option. If there's one option, there's no doubt. You just do. But every time you have more than one option, then you should do nothing as a believer. And then nobody ever believes me when I say this, but a believer never makes a decision. When the cloud is down, you wait. When the cloud is up, you move. Cloud is down, you wait. Now, they waited 39 years because they created their own cloud to justify them not going against the... So you can have to say, well, is this cloud based on fear? What's this cloud based on? And then you, when it starts, if there's a cloud at all, you don't analyze what it's based on. You wait. Now, when you wait, and for me, I had to wait. I could not do anything to help myself. Not even do something to get food. Which is pretty extreme. But listen. When the cloud tarried long, in verse 19, when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, and the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And so it was, when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents. And here again, the command, the cloud is called the commandment. They abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And so it was, when the cloud abode from evening until morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year, that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents, and journeyed not. But when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord, they rested in their tents. At the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses.
So when it says the cloud was taken up, did it like disappear, or did it just move over there? And they journeyed over there, or were they just free to journey wherever the hell they wanted?
I mean, I'm trying to picture a million people just, hey, there's a
cloud. Yeah, there's a cloud. Let's go over there.
Seriously, I think that's a good question.
But it was over
the tabernacle, so you would nothing keep your eye on that one.
Disappeared. We wouldn't be here if we knew the answers.
No, it's a very good question.
That's why we're your pupils.
I have no pupils.
No, be patient with us.
Why he wears glasses.
This is a parable. You understand?
Yeah, I got you.
The parable. I mean, I could, if you want to get that literal, we could have fun.
I do not wish to foist with you.
To what?
Never mind.
What don't you wish to do?
I do understand now.
What don't you wish to do? What did you say?
Foist.
Foist?
Foist.
Foist?
Yeah, foist base, second base, tight base.
Foist is that what does foist mean?
Foist, it's simple before second.
Foist means sword fight.
Duel with a one-armed man.
You mean like this?
Yeah. Well, I was told by some preacher said that if there's a question that I can't answer, then I should be fired. Said that.
What question are you asking?
Let's talk about the parable of the cloud. Is the cloud, is it doubt?
The cloud is, well, it's not doubt in terms of, it's more, you have more than one option, which is doubt.
So if the cloud is a fear, then it's my cloud.
No.
No, Microsoft.
No. You trust that whatever the cloud is, it's there. Don't do that yet. sometime in the future, if we pray about it, and it becomes apparent that it is something that's fear based, then we have to deal with the fear in order that the guidance can be real instead of being fear based.
You and I talked about this in March quite a bit.
I've talked about this quite a bit for many years.
30 years. You still haven't got a good answer.
No, he wants to foist instead.
I'll second that foist.
No, it's you know, right now, all you should hear is that if the cloud is down, you do nothing. The cloud is raised, and you talk. I mean, that's why we exhort one another daily. Well, it's still, you're not alone in any of this.
But it's a parable. The cloud can be many things. Or not?
Well, a cloud is only, there's more than one option. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what the source of it is.
Or what it is. Whether it's blue sky, whether it's... Follow that cloud. It's not following the cloud.
If the cloud is there, you stay down.
But they did it as a group.
Several million people.
Yeah.
It wasn't a physical cloud.
So it wasn't like
a parable
of your cloud,
my cloud.
A group.
I just stepped right into that stupid.
That's why God isn't dealing with us as individuals. He's dealing with us. In my Father's house are many mansions. The word mansion there is the word meno, which isn't a mansion. It means a place of abiding. The place of abiding from the first century church is the Seder. That's your mother. Now, it's not talking to 60, each, the encampment, there were groups of 10 people. And so they first found out if there was a cloud for that 10. And then there were captains of 10 and of 50 and of 100 and 1,000, you know. And so when this answer to his silly question is, how do they follow the cloud? Well, they followed it by consensus.
Well, in the commandment of God at the hand of Moses, as it says at the end of this chapter, because when the cloud was there, they journeyed not. When the cloud was not there, they journeyed, right?
Would that have to do with her question?
Because... Well, it was at the hand of Moses. There wasn't a decision maker, but it was at his hand at the command of God. Yes?
Well, but again, it didn't mean that he was the only one to determine whether there was a cloud there.
Right.
It meant that's what there. Before this happened, they were set apart into groups, mm-hmm. and they encamped in the wilderness, according to the signs of the zodiac, which we've already studied. Each one had the staff. The sign of the zodiac for the head of every one of the tribes. Now, in that campment, there was by the hand of Moses was a government set up, mm-hmm. and there were captains of 10, and on and on. And that's where we get the idea that a seder has to have at least 10, but no more than 20 people. But Moses was probably the final arbiter. We don't know for sure. But we do know that the cloud was the guidance, whether you were alone out there and praising something alone, or whether or not it's something that you chose to bring to the body. It's something that needs to be presented and discussed. Not because you want someone to tell you what to do, but because to discern whether any part of what's going on is fear-based as opposed to a real cloud, or real wanting God to wait. And it could be that he's just waiting. He wants you to wait until you see that it's fear-based so you can confess the fear. There's a jillion reasons for doing or not doing. But if you follow the cloud and say, if the cloud is over you, if you have more than one option and you wait, then waiting is the essence of discipleship.
Well, since you said that, let me ask you this.
I wish you a foist.
All of you guys. I want to do nothing. Or should I discipline Orlando? Orlando's going through another phase again. So should I discipline him and force him to be accepted society-wise? Or should I just let it go? I mean, I just want to let it go.
Well, no one can answer that except you and your and Rick.
That's your clown.
Because we don't know the circumstance. We don't know the issues at hand. But if you have a question about it, you should probably do nothing.
You said doing nothing is waiting. That also means just
abiding.
Still,
well, but you can't be waiting is another interesting word. Waiting is waiting without concern about what you're waiting on.
No anxiety, no expectation, no fear, no worry, right. No projection. It's not toe tapping waiting.
It's being at rest in the truest sense of the form of the word. You know, it's. I can't believe. I mean, for you to be taking care of both Patty and be responsible for Orlando is huge. And, you know, I admire you every day. I couldn't do it. I don't think. I would need to have I'd need this whole group to help me do that. And. But you know, I don't know how you do it, but. You know, God has given you the grace to do it, apparently, but I just hope you have time for resting. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've just made the connection that do you know Nick?
I spent the weekend with, he and I spent the weekend with Nick and Mike.
Hackworth. Yeah.
I never knew he was.
Did you know him?
Yeah, I knew him too. I worked with him at Southeast. Now, this is the older one because there's two of them.
Yeah.
It's not the skinny one, it's the older one.
Yeah.
I think he's already left the department.
Yeah, he's retired. Mm-hmm. He got totally involved in the environment, in the end time movement, and he was
survivalist,
and he's built a cabin up in the woods. And.
He's still waiting.
And we went up there. We went up and it was really a great time. He's been driving his wife crazy, and Nick wanted us to go up and talk to him.
Well, then who's the two people you're talking about, Patty and?
Well, Patty and Orlando are her.
Patty
is her sister, and Orlando is her son.
My son.
I see.
And
her son is autistic,
and her sister has.
Parkinson's. So, I'll tell you a quick story if I may. Her son, when he's here, is a dear, good-looking kid. Mm-hmm. He'll get up and he'll move around or he'll shout, you know, and we're all used to it. I went to the Madeline, I think Sunday morning. I go down there and I read. I get there really early when they open. And I sit there and read, and Mary walks the dog down there. Well, when I got there was hardly anybody there, but there was a young man about college age sitting on the other side of the, you know, room. Well, a bunch of people started coming in, and there are quite a few people around. This boy gets up and shouts, so similar, you know, to what your son does. And everybody just kind of looking around, who did that? And he's just frozen. Everybody's looking around, you know, and finally people just kind of get over it and go back to their business, you know. And he did it once more, not quite as loud. And then he just kind of stood there for the longest time. And eventually people just ignored him. But it helped me, you know, just to be at rest with it because of
knowing Orlando.
It really did. Yeah. So I thought, you know.
I guess the reason why I bring this up is he has a caregiver that helps me. You know, put him on the bus, take him off the bus, whatever.
He has to go to school.
Yeah, he goes to school, and he'll be going until he's 22. But she'll call me and she's like, "Oh, Sandra, the sky is falling." And I'm like, "Oh." And then if I don't do anything, she gets upset and stuff. And it's like, I try and tell her, just calm down. Just, you know, it'll work out. I don't know why, but I've never had any, I'm never worried about him in the future or anything like that. I mean, rap people come and tell me, "Oh, aren't you worried?" It's like, no.
That's great.
Yeah. That's
no, but it's.
But I guess maybe that's why I brought it up, because it's more based on
her response.
Not me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, just, you know, I can only imagine. It's like, I hate it when we have Bible studies, and we don't do it in here, I hope, but in some of the other groups, somebody brings up an issue, and then everybody sits around and gives their opinion about what they should do about it. And it drives me nuts.
It eats up the whole Bible study.
Well, it has nothing to do with God. It's just a bunch of opinions and psychobabble. Mm-hmm. And so, what I want, I don't want us to do that. I don't want everybody to. But I want you to feel free to talk about these kind of things. I mean, that's important. You have to have a place. And but that's good.
Well, especially in the context of talking about the cloud and the parable of where we are here, because it's most relevant to what you just expressed. And
And foisting. We got to remember, we got to foist.
It's all foist, not second of toy. It's foist.
It's foist.
We got to remember.
I do perceive I'm being mocked.
You're smarter than you look.
Takes a while.
Well, the cloud is, you waited.
Anyway, I was on a point. What was I doing? Oh, I know what it was.
The 39 of Joshua, and only two made it out because of their.
No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I meant. What I want to talk about is this thing about the midst, and I started to talk about it, about the two minds.
Oh, yeah.
And it says that Satan will be defeated by that two-mindedness. Well, Satan's already been defeated. But what? He'll be defeated in you because you're constantly at war with yourself. Mm-hmm. Your mind and your subconscious, there's two minds. Your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. And when you're really at war, the dreams become really weird. Because the dreams are, your mind's trying to even things out, to have a truce between your conscious and your subconscious or something. But
they're foisting.
Yeah, okay. Give him that one.
You know what happened to his brother?
Tell us.
Kent.
What happened to Kent Martin, his little brother?
Kent was in bananas for a relatively long time from my standpoint.
How was he hoisted? Or was he hoisted on his own guitar?
He was hoisted out.
No, I asked him to leave because if he wouldn't leave, I was going to kill him.
Why would you do that?
That gets rid of the cloud.
That'll blow your blue skies. Why would you threaten him with murder?
Because he was a Martin.
Oh, it's really strange.
No, that's not fair. That's not fair.
What about the elder, Martin?
Well,
like you said, having me and you in the same room, he was glad there were the other people who were here.
I'm really glad you're well and kicking and back, and it's good to see you. And you are taller and thinner. I don't know how you did it.
But he's not as loud, is he? He seems.
Oh yes, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
No,
he's just warming up.
He spent the whole evening foisting, so you can really expect.
I guess it's my hearing. It seems like he's not as loud.
Foist things, foist.
Well. Foisting has a tendency to deaden everything.
We're like hoisting.
When Mary and I got here, they put us in bananas, and after about 2 weeks, Ole left. So I don't know what that means.
Yeah, then it
was no, sick. I got sick.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Remember?
You say so. Yeah.
I agree. He was sitting in bananas a long time, 2 years.
All right, that's enough for tonight.